Today we are in the fourth sermon in our series of eight sermons on the covenant names for God, as we are exploring the covenant relationship or the redemptive relationship that we have with God. We began this series and looked at Jehovah Jireh, J-I-R-E-H, which means our God is our provider. And then we looked at Jehovah Rapha, R-A-P-H-A, that our God is our healer. And then last week we looked at Jehovah Nissi, N-I-S-S-I, that our God is our banner over us. Today we want to look at Jehovah Makedesh. That's M-E-K-A-V-D-E-S-H. Our God is holy. In the passage that I read this morning from the book of Exodus, Moses is receiving instructions from God on how Moses is to lead the people of God and to establish the Israelites as God's people. And in that particular passage, you heard where God told Moses, "I'm a holy God, and I will sanctify my people and make them holy." And one of the ways in which God sanctified his people and reached out to make his people holy as he is holy, one of the ways that God did that we saw in the book of Exodus, was God said, "I want you to have a Sabbath day, a holy day of rest. Just as God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and then rested, so also God is telling his people, you can labor for 6 days, but on one day you will rest." And it was so important that the people of God capture and understand this concept of resting and becoming holy as God is holy, that God said that anybody that did not keep that would be cut off from Him. They would be dead. They would not be a part of the people of God. Now, please try to understand as you hear that, that God is not some arbitrary tyrant that says you must do as I do or you'll be cut off. Rather, God is saying, "I am holy. Goodness and purity reside within me. And by my nature of being holy, those who come unto me must be holy. Light dispels darkness. You don't have light and darkness at the same time. God is light. It dispels darkness. And to come unto God and to be with God and to have fellowship with God and to walk with God and to be God's people means that you become like God. You become holy." And God is explaining this to Moses, and it begins with setting aside that one day. And then we read in Leviticus, again, where God is speaking to His people, and they've got all of these things that they must do in order to make themselves holy. They've got a list of law and commands, and there's things that they do, and there's things that they should refrain from doing. But the object of all of that is that they would be holy. And it says very specifically in that word that we read this morning, "I, your God, am holy. You be holy." And the commandment from God is that He is holy and we, His people, are called to be holy. That's what was happening in Leviticus. And then I read the passage in 1 Peter, where the Apostle Peter is speaking to the New Testament church, and what words does Peter use when he talks to the church about being the church? He quotes Leviticus. And he says, God is holy, you be holy. That hasn't changed. That hasn't changed. God is holy and He calls His people to be holy because our God is a holy God. He is righteous. He is good. He is pure. And He calls His people to be righteous, to be good, to be pure. But as I read that passage from 1 Peter, did you hear the good news? As Peter announces to the people that we have been redeemed by Jesus, and all of this stuff that was out there for the ancestors, as Peter refers to them, all of the stuff that they must do in order to become holy has been done away with. You've been set free from that bondage of all the things that you must do and all the things that you must refrain from in order to become holy. For Peter says you have been made holy by the blood of Jesus. Previously, God spoke and said through Moses that you become holy by setting aside the Sabbath. Later in Leviticus, they were told that you stay away from certain kinds of foods and you do other sorts of things, and in doing that, you become holy. And then Peter speaks to the New Testament church and he says, those former things have been done away with. Now you are made holy and blameless, and you are perfect in the eyes of God. You are pure by the blood of Jesus. Peter goes on to say in this passage that you have become pure as you've grasped this truth and believed and made Jesus Christ your Savior and your Lord and allowed His blood to sanctify you. I'd like to share this morning two ways in which this truth about our holiness before God has worked out in my life. The first, as I remember last August, a year ago, preaching a sermon here on a passage of Scripture that is in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And that particular passage begins at verse 28 in chapter 12. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and with awe. For indeed our God is a consuming fire. I remember that a year ago I was struggling through several issues in my life. Things were not going as well as I wanted them to go in my life. And I needed God to do some things for me. And I had been praying to God as Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And I had been saying to God, God, this is what I need you to do in my life. And I had this list of things that I needed Him to fix for me and to make right in my life. And every time I would pray and share with God, hear the concerns of my life, it was though I was hearing in my mind God speaking back to me as the thought would come into my mind, what's your point? And I would respond to God, God, my point is that you're my provider, and I'm looking to you to meet these needs in my life. And then I would hear again, as though God were saying to me, what's your point? And I didn't understand what was going on. I was finding myself very frustrated because I wanted God to meet these needs in my life. I wanted understanding about where I was going. I wanted to see direction about where I was going. There were other practical things that were happening in my life as well that I just needed God to fix some things to provide for me. And every time I prayed, I felt like God was saying, what's your point? And I didn't understand what He was saying until I read this passage of Scripture in Hebrews 12, where it says in verse 29, for indeed our God is a consuming fire. And what that said to me, how that answered my prayer, was that I looked at the previous verse there where it said that we worship God with reverence and awe. And here's how that worked out in my life. It brought back to my consciousness that indeed our God is a holy God. And that He has called me to be holy. And He has committed Himself to burn out of me, to burn out of my life anything that's not holy. My God is a consuming fire, and He is committed, using every circumstance and using all of His power, to burn me up, to burn the dross that is within me, that I may be holy as He is holy. I think this thought is captured by Peter in the first part of the passage that I read this morning, where Peter says, your faith is more precious than gold, though tested by fire. And our God has taken me through a time of testing, a time of fire, a time of a consuming fire. Now, what that means to me is that as circumstances come into my life, as things go wrong in my judgment, my analysis, God is teaching me to ask Him, O Lord, what would You have me see in this circumstance? What are You teaching me in this circumstance? It's sort of like this. You know, often times when we get a headache, we'll take some aspirin or some Tylenol to make that headache go away. And sometimes we need to do that. That's all that we need to do. But we also need to recognize that having a headache is a symptom. And we need to understand what's causing that headache. What is it a symptom of? It may be a symptom of an allergy or hay fever, that there's nothing that we can do about except perhaps pray for rain to knock some of the pollen out of the air. But it also may be an anxiety headache. It may be a tension headache because we're trying so to control our life and all of the stuff around us, as opposed to trusting that God is at work in the midst of our lives. You see that connection? And so God teaches me to seek Him in His way, in what He's doing in my life. He's teaching me to ask Him questions so that He can give me insight of what He's trying to work out in my life, what He wants me to let go of in my life, that I might trust Him and seek Him above all things. God is a jealous God, and He is a consuming fire as He burns out in my life anything that's not holy, because He's a holy God. Now, I can tell you that's painful at times. It's a painful process at times, emotionally, when you recognize that perhaps you've got an attachment to people or to things or to status, and you're letting those people or those things or that status be your source of identity, who you are. God may want to burn that out of your life as He's burned it out of my life. God becomes my all in all. The source of my life and of my joy and of my identity. So our God is a holy God. He calls us to be holy, and He's a consuming fire. He will burn out anything that is not holy within us. That's one thing that I've learned in my life. The other thing that I've learned in my life is that I'm willing for this process of this consuming fire to take place in my life because I know that I have been made holy by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and God invites me to come into the Holy of Holies where He is and dwell with Him and have fellowship with Him and have peace with Him. That I don't have to wait until He consumes all of the stuff in my life that is not holy. I don't have to wait until then to have a relationship with God. That I have that relationship today because He's made me holy by the blood of Jesus. And I can enjoy fellowship with Him, and then at the same time He's going to burn out all the stuff in me that becomes an obstacle to my awareness of His constant and abiding acceptance and love of me. Do you see that connection? God puts His arms around me just like the Heavenly Father put His arms around that son who came out of the pig farm, the prodigal son that came home smelling like a pig, dirty and covered with all sorts of grime and mud. The father wraps his arms around that son and says, "Welcome to you." And he puts a robe on him and a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and embraces him in that condition. God has made us holy by the blood of Jesus, and He embraces us in our sin. He embraces us in our brokenness and welcomes us to where He is. That's the good news that I want you to hear this morning, that God has made you holy by the blood of Jesus. He's committed Himself to taking anything out of our life that distracts from His holiness. But at the same time, He embraces us and welcomes us into His presence where we can find peace. My favorite songwriter Dennis Jernigan put this concept to a song that I dearly love. And when I am going through those difficult times in my life, I play this song. And I allow this song and the words in this song to minister to me and to bring me back into the presence of God, where I belong. I remember learning a concept from Bill Gillum in his book, Lifetime Guarantee. He talked about our emotions being similar to like a thermometer or to like a scale. He says many times things happen to us, bad things happen to us. We're hurt, we're rejected, we're abandoned. And our emotions go up on the scale like a rising thermometer. And it takes a long time to get over the hurt and the pain we experience in life. Gillum says that's like your emotions, or as he calls it, your feeler, getting stuck. You know, you've gone all the way up to the top of the scale and your emotions have only come down a little bit, and then something else can come and happen in your life, and because your feeler is stuck, you find your emotions going over the scale, on the top of the scale again. Wounds sometimes just don't seem to heal. Good news that we hear this morning is that our holy God, who is pure and loves us just as we are, invites us to Himself. And we're hurting with the pain of those wounds that don't heal. Sometimes the pain that we experience in life is a pain caused by our own making, our own choosing, the sins in our life. Instead of dwelling with God where He is, we go off like the prodigal son and make our own way. The good news is that God in all of His holiness embraces us in the midst of all of our sin. I love the way the Apostle Paul puts it when he writes in the letter to the Colossians that we're hidden with God in Christ Jesus. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ covering us, we find ourselves hidden with God. We're within Him and safe and secure from the pain of the world. Here's how Jernigan puts it in his song. And would just take a moment to let these words minister to you. He writes, "When I cannot feel, when my wounds don't heal, Lord, I humbly kneel, hidden in You. Lord, You are my life, so I don't mind to die just as long as I'm hidden in You. If I could just sit with You a while, if You could just hold me, nothing could touch me. Though I'm wounded, though I die, if I could just sit with You a while, I need You to hold me. Moment by moment, till forever passes by. When I know I've sinned, when I should have been crying out, 'My God, hidden in You,' Lord, I need You now more than I know how. So I humbly bow, hidden in You. If I could just sit with You a while, if You could just hold me, nothing could touch me, though I'm wounded, though I die. If I could just sit with You a while, I need You to hold me moment by moment till forever passes by." This morning, I invite you to celebrate the good news. The good news that we serve and we worship and we sing praises to Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides for us, to Jehovah Rapha, the God who is our healer and makes us whole, to Jehovah Nissi, the God who is the banner over us, our protector, and to Jehovah Makadosh, our holy God, who has made us holy by the blood of Jesus and who invites us to come into the very Holy of Holies where He dwells, that we might find peace. As He puts His arms around us and holds us moment by moment, and forever passes by.